silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven above.
Thankful that he was born one night in a stable. I'm glad that he didn't stay a baby in a manger. I'm glad he didn't stay a man hanging on a cross. I'm glad that he rose again and he lives in you and I. Turn to page 254 if you would, please.
Oh, beautiful star.
Beautiful star.
Oh, shine upon us until the glory dawn. Oh, give us the light to light the way into that land of perfect day. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
Some of you are singing. I don't know why this is difficult. We just sang this last year. We're here to worship Him, folks.
Amen.
All right? He is that star. He is that one that attracted the wise men's attention. Amen? We're going to sing that last verse again and sing the chorus. And we're going to shake hands and fellowship with everybody. Because that star shined in our life one day, Brother Jimmy. And we've never been the same. Amen? And that's why we're here tonight, is because that star is shining. Amen?
Oh, beautiful star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the good and blessed. Wonder and glory when the crown is won. For Jesus is now.
I'm still rejoicing from Sunday. I don't know about you all, but I've just been feasting.
Amen.
Amen. He's a wonderful Savior.
Amen.
He's a mighty conqueror.
Amen.
He is the King of Kings.
Amen.
And He entered in. I'm not preaching tonight. I got to stop. He entered in once and for all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Oh, hallelujah. Well, we better sing. Brother Nathan said this was in G. G.
He's the only reason I live, but oh, what a reason. Oh, He's the only reason I live, but oh, what a reason. Oh, there's nothing in this world worth living for. It only leaves you empty and longing for more. He's the only reason I live, but oh, what a reason. Oh, He's the only reason I live, but oh, worth living for it.
the reason you're living tonight?
Oh, now he's the only reason I live. But oh, what a reason. Oh, he's the only reason I live. But oh, what a reason. See, there's nothing in this world.
Presence here tonight. Oh, he's the only reason I live. But oh, what a reason. You see, there's nothing in this world worth living for. It'll only leave you empty, longing for more. But he's the only. Oh, what a reason. You may have tried a lot of things to find real happiness, but if you look very long, you'll know it can't be found. Until you find the Lord in the power of His Spirit, then Jesus will be your reason to live, and He'll never let you down. Oh, for He's the only reason I live. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, he's the only reason the bride lives. But oh, what a reason. You see, there's nothing in this world worth living for. It'll only leave you empty, leave you longing for more. But he, the only reason we live. Oh, what a reason. One more time together.
Oh, he's the only reason I live. But oh, what a reason.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, he's the only reason I live. But oh, world that's worth living for. It'll only leave you empty, leave you longing for more. But he's the only reason I live. But oh, what a reason.
Amen. Aren't you glad you found him? Amen. He found you first, and then he just put a desire on your heart to find him. Amen. Thank God for his grace and mercy to us. Amen. Good to be in church on Wednesday night. Amen. God bless you. Got a few testimonies that I want to share. I always love when it works out like this, where we have more testimonies than we do prayer requests, and tonight's one of those nights. So, Brother Japheth, we had prayed for a family member of his that was in an automobile accident, and I think he had got struck on a motorcycle, and he was 80 years old and had multiple face fractures, but the Lord moved on the scene, and he pulled through and is in recovery, so we want to praise the Lord for that. And then Brother Josh and Sister Leah, they had brought little Hadessa down to my office on Sunday night and asked that I pray for her. She'd been struggling with a lot of congestion and having a hard time breathing. We prayed for her, and they had taken her, I think, on Monday for a follow-up at the doctor, and they listened to her chest and listened to her back and couldn't find any congestion or anything wrong. So we want to praise the Lord for that. And then Sister Sabra Swank, that some of you may not know her, but she's the sister that comes a lot on Wednesday nights and sits with Sister Jeannie. And she was traveling to Germany to visit her daughter. And she had texted Sister Rebecca and myself and asked that we be in prayer for her because her flights kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed leaving. And she was afraid that by the time she left Louisville, she wasn't going to make her connecting flight in Chicago. And so when she got to Chicago, there was no available seats left on the last flight, I guess, going out overseas. And so she said, could you please just check? I got here early. Could you please just check and see if anything's available? And the lady said, well, I've been checking, but there's no seats available. I'll check one more time. And she checked, and she said, somebody just canceled. A seat came open. And so she gets on the flight, and as she's traveling there, the pilot, when they're getting ready to land, he goes in for the landing, and then he just pulls off and begins to circle the runway. And the stewardess came on and said, there was a problem, but it's resolved, and we'll be landing in a moment. And then they came back on and said, well, there is a problem, and a truck's going to have to meet us when we land, and nobody can leave the plane until the truck checks a few things. And so when they begin to land, she realized that the truck that was supposed to meet them was two fire trucks and a lot of emergency vehicles. And so she just began to pray and ask the Lord. She said, Lord, you provided this flight. I prayed and didn't look like I was going to get one. You provided it, so I'm just depend on you. And when they landed, I guess the airplane she was on had four brake systems, and their emergency alerts came on and said that two of the brake systems were not functional. And so they were concerned that when they tried to land, they wouldn't be able to stop. So, but the Lord worked everything out. They landed successfully, didn't have any problems. So we want to praise the Lord for that. She was very happy. You can put yourself in her shoes, and you know it's a time to really be praying and seeking God for sure. But then we also know that He protects us, and we can trust Him, and that we're you know He's got everything under control. So we're certainly happy to hear those testimonies. Want to remember Brother Furman in prayer. He's traveling, driving tonight and tomorrow to Utah. So want to remember him in prayer for traveling mercies. And little Ella Leek has a fever tonight. So Brother Josh had asked if we'd remember her in prayer. So we want to lift her up in prayer tonight. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Luke, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? We know the Lord is more than able. And we're just, you know, when we come with more requests and we have testimonies like that, we just expect, well, we'll hear some more testimonies back next week. So praise the Lord.
Truly, the only reason we can live, Lord, is because of you, Father. Lord, before we came into this life, Lord, and we were written on the palms of your hand, Father, Lord, but there was a time, Lord, that maybe we wasn't in this pure living the right life, Lord, and we thought the reason to live was for something different, Father, Lord, thank you for showing us, Father, the real reason, Lord, to live. Lord, you gave us a life to worth living for. You gave us this message, Father, to open our eyes, Lord. Lord, we pray for more revelation, Lord Jesus. More love in our hearts, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, just draw closer to you, Father. Lord, we thank you so much for these testimonies, Lord. It's just more vindication for us, Lord. We never doubt, Lord. Lord, we just pray over these prayer requests, Lord, that was brought forth, Lord, the little babies that are sick, Lord, and not just them, Lord, but there's many out here, Lord, that are very sick, Lord, and we know that you're more than able to go to each one, Father. Lord, we just want another meeting tonight, Lord, with you, Lord, in your presence, Father, as we feel you now, Lord, and we just want you to stay, Lord, but not just here, Father, just go with us, Lord, as we leave, Father, Lord. Help Brother Nathan, Lord, just, Lord, pray that you use him, Lord. We love you. Just ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Hoover's leading songs tonight. Most of you know what that means. Brother Ben has a special for us. Come on, Brother Ben.
Yeah.
It's what we do. We long to worship Him. Brothers, if you would come. If you know this song, sing along with me. Just want to worship the Lord tonight. After that testimony from Sister Sabre, a couple of other testimonies that I know of, things that I have witnessed with my own eyes this week, I just wanted to sing this song as a praise unto the Lord. You worship the Lord as we sing. Standing there at the Red Sea, God's people began to complain. Soon Pharaoh and his mighty army will take us in bondage again. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Experience that?
Amen.
Amen. There's a little chorus. Sister Christy will have to help me. This is a chorus that I heard and I just love it. It says,
didn't I put food on your table? Show up when the bills were due. When the pain was racking your body, I sent healing down to you. When you were lost and sorrow, well, I died just to set you free, so you would know just how much I love you. Didn't I put food on your table? Show up when your bills were due. Anybody seen that? The pain was racking your body. I sent healing down to you when you were lost. Sin and sorrow, well, I died just to set you free, so you would know just how much I love you.
One more time, shall we stand?
Didn't I put food on your table? Show up when the bills were due.
contracting your body. I sent healing down to you when you were lost in sin and sorrow. Well, I died just to set you free, so you would know just how much I love you. Amen. He has showed up when the bills were due. He has put food on my table. He has sent healing down to me. And when I was lost in sin and sorrow, didn't even think about him, he already loved me. Just as much as he loves me right now. Oh, hallelujah. I love him. After Brother Trevor ministered the other night, I think we need to sing this song. It's page 239 if you need to follow along. Oh, he became
together. By grace. So why don't we just bow our heads as they play that softly. Lord, as Brother Trevor reminded us Sunday night, looking into what your prophet said in the church age book, Lord, and how that the prophet pointed us back to a prophet from another age, St. Paul, and said that we have become the righteousness of God. Brother Branham says to most people, it's a verse and they read it, but the revelation of it hasn't really dropped down for us to realize what that means. Lord, that you came and you took our filthy rags. You came and you took our shame. You came and you took our place so that we could take your righteousness. Oh, what a Savior. How we love you, Lord. How we thank you for your presence here tonight, Lord. How we thank you for what you did that day on Calvary, Lord. Oh, it was grace. Grace clothed in humanity that you would come and give your life for us. Oh, amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Oh, may it become a reality to us tonight, Father. Lord, that you took our sins and Lord, as Brother Trevor reminded us, if sin's not that big a deal to us, then becoming his righteousness won't be that big of a deal either, Father. But Lord, it should mean something to us. Lord, it should mean something to us to look back and see our sins and our faults, but to recognize that you came and you shed your blood so that you could place those sins and those faults in the sea of forgetfulness. So that you could look at us as a bride, pure, unadulterated, perfect in your eyes. Oh, our neighbors may look at us and they may see flaws, and our family may look at us and see weaknesses. People at the church may look around and think, well, he made a mistake there, or she made a mistake over there. But Lord, you look at us and all you see is your righteousness. What a blessed people we are, Father. Oh, it takes the blood to do that, Lord. But Lord, I know in this age, everybody's coming up with their way that you have to do it. You have to be this and you have to do that. And you have to belong to this group or that group. But Lord, it took the blood for each and every one of us. Lord, no matter where I sign my name, no matter what stand I take doctrinally, no matter how right I am intellectually, Lord, without the blood, we're lost. Help us, Lord. Lord, for these young people sitting here tonight, Lord, may they recognize the importance of that personal relationship with you, that it's more than repeating of words, it's more than going through emotions, but Lord, that it can be a personal thing for them, that they can have a relationship with you, that you can come and abide in them, Father. Lord, come tonight and make your abode in us. Lord, we don't ask you just to come and Lord, that your spirit would enter into these four walls, although we appreciate when you come and meet us like that, Lord, we appreciate your presence. But don't just abide in the church building, Lord, but abide in the individuals. Lord, you told Solomon, what temple, what house could you build me? But Lord, you wanted to come and have a body that you had prepared, that you could live in, that you could walk in, that you could talk in. Lord, you did it on the seas of Galilee and they recognized you as the Messiah. Now, Lord, if your prophet came and told us that in this age we would be Messiahettes, the only way we can do that is if you come and dwell in human flesh again, that the Holy Spirit comes and makes its abode in boys and girls and men and women in this age, Lord. May we recognize it tonight. Lord, if there's some here that haven't reached that place, may they reach up tonight and receive it. Lord, your prophet said you want to fill us more than we want to be filled. Lord, may tonight be the night for some of them, Lord, that they recognize who they are. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. We thank you, Father. Amen and amen. You love him tonight? Amen. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. Turn with me, if you would, again tonight to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. And we want to look at verse 8. 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 8 reads like this: Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord. Amen. Be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Brother Hoover said he's about to shout over there, and I said, go right ahead. It won't bother me any. So, amen. I believe we came to have church tonight. Amen. I don't, you know, if it gets to the spot where we just come together and it's just an assembling and we just get together and it's something we did off of our checklist and, well, we was a good Christian this week, we went to church, then count me out. I don't want it to just be, you know, we can go to a lodge, Brother Branham said, and do that. Go to whatever lodge of your choosing and come together as an assembling of just a group of people to come together to fellowship. But, you know, it's nice. I appreciate it. I enjoy it. You know, when I'm not too tired or when I'm not running out of town or whatever it would be to stand out here in fellowship with you, I believe some of the cream of the crop, a portion of the bride of Jesus Christ, I enjoy to stand out here and shake your hand in fellowship with you, but that's not why I come to church. I enjoy when the Holy Spirit comes down, anoints, and my, we can sing and we can praise and we can, you know, whether it's listening to a tape or a minister preaching or whatever it is, I appreciate that. But even those things is not why we come to church. Brother Bram said we come to church to worship Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we want to place our worship fully on him.
Amen.
And you know, all of those things are a part of worship. You know, the singing is a part of the worship. Shouting is part of the worship. Raising your hand and, you know, if the Holy Spirit begins to come down and convict you and tears come out of your eyes, that's part of worship. But you can do all those things just going through the motion and not be worship. But we want to come and worship him tonight. As I told you last week in studying, the Lord just kept placing this word on my heart, and so I began to look into it, and we want to look at it again tonight, and I'm just real briefly going to try to go over a couple of things that we looked at last week, and this word yield is what we want to look at again tonight. And we looked at it last week. There were several different meanings, but we want to look at this one meaning again and focus in on it tonight: to give up as to superior power or authority. And remember last week I talked about how the universal sign of surrender is to raise our hands, and so we want to surrender to this superior power or authority. We want to yield tonight. Brother Branham says it this way. We looked at it at the very close of the service last week. Brother Branham said, and as the eagle stirreth her nest, 1961, he says, you've got to get him in here first, then let him use your eyes to look, get him in here, and he will use your tongue to speak. Just, he will use your whole being just as much as you will yield to him. That's how much he can use you. He said, God has an awful time getting a fellow to yield to him. You know, and sometimes I think we get in a state, if we're not careful, and we think, Lord, why don't you use me more? You know, I hear different brothers say, well, I don't feel like I do that much. And, you know, sometimes that's because the enemy has lied to us, and we don't realize sometimes the impact that we're really having on people. And sometimes the devil wants to get us down. Well, you're not the prophet, or you're not the pastor, or you're not a deacon, or you're not this. You don't really do that much. But yet you don't have to have a title or a position to do a lot for the Lord. You know, there's some people that go on their jobs and they're a witness every day, or maybe some of your jobs take you around to different people's homes or places of business, and you can shine a light there, and you can do something for God and have an impact on people that would maybe never bless us with their presence here at the church, but you can have an impact on them out there in the world. So God can use you But sometimes we begin to get complacent, and the reason that God doesn't use us more than he does is because that we don't yield to him more than we do. Now, as I said last week, God has placed in every one of us, if we believe what Brother Branham taught us, he said, even to the housewife has a ministry. He said, each one of you has something to do. Now, it may be greater levels. It may be for greater lengths of time. You remember John the Baptist there? Brother Branham said that God trained him for 30 years and is really the main impact, the main stage of his ministry. He was only used for about 6 months. Jesus in a flesh body, he was here for 33 and a half years. And as far as what's recorded of his ministry and of the main acts and works that he did, healing the sick and raising the dead, it was only about the last 3.5 years of his ministry. So we recognize that sometimes it's God's timing, that he's going to use us more in different stages of our life, and he's going to use us more maybe in different places that we're at or whatever it would be. But in whatever state we're in, I don't believe that, you know, we can look at the scripture and see Jesus as a 12-year-old boy. The one verse that we have of him between the age of about 2 or 3 years old and 12, and then there's another gap between 12 and 33, that, you know, or 30 rather, that, you know, we don't really see anything of his life. But the one glimpse that we get of him as a 12-year-old boy, he was still about the Father's business. Now, everything he did as a teenager didn't make it into the scriptures. And most of us, we're thankful that most of the things that we did as teenagers didn't make it into the scriptures. But yet, here he was in a sinless body. He didn't have any regrets. He didn't have anything to be ashamed about as far as being recorded. But yet, it's not recorded in scripture. And I doubt he was going around as a 12-year-old boy healing the multitudes and raising the dead and things like that. But there were things that he was doing. He said, I always do that which pleases the Father. So as a 12-year-old boy, he was doing what pleased the Father for that place and time in his life. And that's where many times, if we're not careful, I'd like to do this or I want to do that. But what does God want you to do for the season and the time and the place that you're in your life? And if you can find what that is by yielding to him, then he can use you to be more successful. Maybe he wants you to be a baker. And maybe he wants to place you in a bakery just so that somebody, a predestinated seed, is going to stop by that bakery, and it'll have more of an eternal impact maybe than if you had tried to missionary Africa 6 months a year and not been in his perfect will. And maybe, you remember Brother Ram said those people said they'd been over there 2 years. He said, how many souls have you saved? They could point him to one person that had accepted over there in India or Africa. And my, here with one prayer, 25,000 healed and hundreds of thousands accept Jesus Christ. What was it? The difference in trying to do something on your own and trying to do something in the will of God. Now, we thank God for that one soul that was saved, but they might have been able to save 100 more back at home in their own hometown if they would have found what God was leading them to do. So we want to be in God's perfect will. Many times in major things in our life, we're careful about that. When we go to choose our wife, if you're a man, or your husband, if you're a woman, that's how we still believe it here. You know, I know some people don't believe that, but when you go to pray about that, most of us, we're careful about that. We know that's something that's going to have a great impact not only on us, but on our children, on our family down for generations to come. So most of us are careful, and we pray about big decisions like that, or sometimes a job transition, or moving to a different state, or moving to a different church or whatever it be. We pray carefully about those decisions, and most of us are able to yield and seek God's will in that because we know this is something that's going to have a major impact on our lives. But you realize there's many times the little minuscule things that we do in our daily life, it could have a major impact on somebody else if we would just yield in the same way and say, Lord, I need your will for my life on which grocery store to go to today just as much as I need it in all these big things. Amen, because I could maybe be a witness to somebody over here and maybe waste my time over there. I think sometimes we don't really yield the way that we should. You know, I can recognize it in my own life. I see places, Lord, I should have taken more time and prayed about that. Lord, I should have instead of just rushing about and going from here and there and everything, I should have taken a step back and said, Lord, what is my purpose in being here? Why did you lead me to this place? Why did you bring me in contact with this person? How are you trying to use me? And I recognize that many times when we come to church and you see the Lord trying to move and trying to stir hearts and trying to get people to yield to whatever their place in the body or whatever their gift in the body would be, and they struggle so hard with those things, with the presence of God here, I think, my, how they must struggle out in their everyday life if they can't even yield in a presence like we've been sitting in lately. Well, praise the Lord. We want to yield to him. Brother Branham says, why, and why are people so tossed about? 1956, when Christ the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, he's in you with your temperament, and he's living his own life through his own will through you. You talk about a paradox, that Jesus Christ could come in. And still, David Hoover still got his personality. Now, the Lord's molded it up a lot from what it was probably 20 years ago. But he still got David Hoover's personality in there. Brother Bannon said the Holy Spirit didn't take out things in him, desires as far as wanting to be a hunter and a fisherman and the type of personality that he was, to want have a desire to fellowship with people and things like that. The Holy Spirit didn't take those things out of him, his character traits. It just took the things that was of the devil, of some gene that had been handed down from some past generation, some desire that was impure or something in him that he recognized he needed to yield to the Holy Spirit to take it out of him. The Holy Spirit took those unclean things out, but it didn't remove your personality. You know, most of you can recognize it didn't remove my sense of humor. Now, it cleaned it up a lot, but it didn't remove it. It tempered it a lot, but it didn't remove it. And there's things in your life that your personality and your quirkiness, and maybe you're a certain way, maybe you're a homebody, or maybe you're a people person. You're outgoing, like to fellowship with everybody. And maybe somebody else in your family, they just don't understand you at all, because they'd rather just spend all day in their basement cellar or whatever it is and just hide away from the world, not have any contact with anybody. And what is it? You got two extreme personalities, but yet when the Holy Spirit comes in, there he is abiding with Nathan Bryan or David Hoover or Arnie Bird, or read your name in there, with your temperament and your nature, not the old carnal nature of the world, but your personality and all your little quirks, and the Holy Spirit comes and abides in there. And maybe you're a Ford person, and here's somebody else that's filled with the Holy Ghost, and they're a Chevy person, and you're never going to see eye to eye on that. The Holy Ghost is not going to lead you and guide you to any specific vehicle. Amen. He didn't call you to do that. He called to lead you and guide you to the truth. But he's not going to lead you to some things. The Holy Spirit isn't going to tell everybody to paint their house the same color and drive the same brand of car and drive the same color car and all that. No, you get cult mentalities and you see people start doing that. Everybody starts doing the same thing and wearing the same color clothes and driving the same color cars and the same brand of cars and all that. You see that when you look, everybody in the church drives a Ford or a Honda. You think, wait a minute, there's something's bad wrong here, because we all have different personalities. Brother Branham, I just heard him on tape the other day. He said, there even can't be two major prophets on the scene at the same time, because their personalities wouldn't agree together. He said the only time it ever happened was Elijah and Elisha, and Elisha didn't do one thing until Elijah went off the scene. Why? Because here they are, yet with the spirit of Elijah on both of these men. Remember, the sons of the prophets walked along there and they said, oh my, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. But yet you go back and you look at the way they handled things and their personality, and they had different personalities, yet the same anointing on both of these men. And so God can come and dwell in a human vessel, but yet still their own temperament still being there. And now he's living his own life, Brother Branham says, through his own will, through you. He says, hallelujah. I know it sounds awful, but it's right. Christ so yielded you are that Christ speaks the kind of words he'd speak. He thinks the kind of thoughts he would think through you. All right. He does the kind of works he would do through you. You notice he's not just saying through me. He didn't just say through William Branham, through the prophet. He didn't just say through the pastor. He didn't just say through the deacon. He said through you. Amen. Remember what Brother Hoover told us? That means all of us. Amen. That doesn't just isolate it up here on the platform, and that it's the holy ministry or the holy song leader or the holy musician or whatever. The anointing, we'll look at it. Brother Trevor reminded me of the quote from Patmos Vision. We'll listen to it here in a few weeks. Brother Branham said that, it's not, the anointing's not all up just on the platform, but it's that the congregation is anointed too. Amen. Now, I thought that's what got Dathan and Korah in trouble. Quiet in here tonight, isn't it? Oh, Moses, it's not just you that's holy. It's not just you that's anointed. The congregation's anointed too. And then a prophet messenger in this age comes around and says, it's not just up on here on the platform, but it's on the congregation too. So why did Dathan and Korah get in trouble and Brother Branham not get in trouble? Because of the spirit and the attitude that he was approaching it with. You see, you know, we've taken one man message and we've ran so far out on a limb that we've made it contrary to the scriptures. Amen. Amen. Moses was a one man message. One man brought the message. But let's go back and read the scripture a little further. Go back and read Leviticus. If you've got the message app on your, or the message table software on your computer, go to Leviticus and search the word priest and see how many times it says it. And the whole book, Moses is going down and saying, this is what Aaron and his sons, the priests, are going to do. And they'll come and make sacrifices for you and make you holy and all these things. And he's constantly pointing the people to that. Then you come around and he gets so tired from judging the people that here comes Jethro, his father-in-law. He said, Moses, you take too much upon yourself. Now, why didn't Jethro get in trouble? Why didn't the earth come and swallow Moses up? Because he was approaching Moses in a different way than Dathan and Korah was. Amen. He said, oh, Moses, you take too much on yourself. He said, why don't you anoint 70 other men? And Moses did it, and God actually comes around and confirms the very same thing. You go read it in Exodus, and it says Jethro said it, but you go over into Numbers, and God tells Moses the exact same thing, and it said God, not Jethro, not Moses, not Dathan, not Korah, not Aaron, or anybody else, but God took of Moses' spirit and placed it on the 70 elders, and they begin to testify, and they begin to prophesy, and they begin to do all these things, and Joshua said, hey, you better stop them, Moses. There's these two guys down here that they're prophesying out in the camp. He said, why are you jealous for me, Joshua? Would to God that all his people prophesy. There was Joshua and Caleb. There was different ones that God was using. But here Dathan and Korah come. And if you go back and read the scripture, it wasn't Moses' place that they're trying to take. They were upset because they didn't get to be the priests. And they wanted to come and take Aaron and his son's place. And they said, who made you a ruler over us? Who made you? Who said that you could say who the priest is? Who said that you could set church order in? Who said that you fulfilled these scriptures and that you're going to be a captain over us and tell us who can and who can't and all that? And Moses said, fine, choose you this day whom you'll serve. As for me and my house, we'll come over here and serve God. He said, who's on the Lord's side? And it caused a division. And you notice one group went over and stood with Moses. Why? Because the real, true followers of God in any age will follow the vindicated prophet for their age. And so if you were standing for God in the days of Moses, you had to be standing with Moses. No matter how good intention they had, if they walked over and stood with Dathan and Korah, they were absolutely out of the will of God because it was a move that was contrary to what God had spoke through Moses. Yet here, God working and moving and acting on a group of people, and a prophet of God gets up and says, it's not just on the platform, it's the congregation is anointed as well. Amen. If we stop and we disagree and we don't believe that, then we take the Holy Spirit and we put him in a box and we say, you can only move. Holy Ghost, you stay right in here in my little box, and this is what I see, and this is what I believe, and this is what I agree with, and you can't move any other way than that. Well, he may not move any other way than that in your life because you won't allow him to, but he will bypass you. He will bypass, sometimes in spite of ourselves, the move of God goes right on around us and goes to somebody else because we wouldn't yield to it. Wouldn't yield to the Holy Spirit. My, we've seen situations right here in the church. I was sitting over here one evening playing the guitar, and Brother Furman was leading songs, and I thought, goodness gracious, I feel like I could just sit this guitar down and take off dancing, Brother Joel. And I thought, Lord, if that was really you, just send it by my, you know, I wanted to give God some speculation or some specifications and things. Lord, if you'll just do this, and you'll come my way, and you'll show me, make sure this isn't Nathan Bryant's flesh, just really make sure this is you, and come by my way one more time and just really confirm that it's you. And Brother Layton took off dancing. Amen. Why? Because God said, well, fine. If you don't want to get the blessing, I'll just send it on to the next guy. Amen. That's what we do many times if we're not careful. He's wanting, he's seeking, he's searching for somebody that he can work through, somebody he can speak through, somebody he can testify through, somebody he can reach out to the lost through and be a help to somebody that's suffering and dying in sin out here. And if you won't do it, he'll bypass you and pick somebody else. But he will, his perfect will be done in spite of us or with us. It's our choice. Amen. Paul said, what if some didn't believe? Would that hinder God? God forbid. God's will is going to be done whether we believe it or not. God's purpose is going to be completed no matter how many people turn away, no matter how many people turn into atheists. God's purpose and plan will be performed. Just the manifestation in your life will prove whether you was in his thoughts in the beginning to be a part of it or not. But if God has truly called you, and he's wanting to work through you and use you, then he has a purpose for you. Amen. Now, some people's purpose, they may do something. They may have almost a 24/7 work for the Lord that they're doing. And somebody else, they may just sit at home and pray for people. And they may be just a prayer warrior and an intercessor. And, you know, who is more valuable, the one going around doing the work or the one sitting behind the curtain praying for them? Brother Branham said, those one meetings, he said, you want to know why this meeting has been so successful? They said he pulled back the curtain and there was Brother John Ryan praying behind the curtain there for the people. He said, this is the reason why the meeting has been so successful. Amen. You want to know why God has blessed this church and has prospered this church and is helping people and dealing with people? It's not just Brother Branham said, the pastor doesn't just bring it in the briefcase. Or we'll update it to 2018 if that doesn't scare and offend you too much. The pastor doesn't just bring it on his iPad, okay?
Amen.
Amen. The pastor doesn't just bring it, on the MP3 player and play it, or doesn't just bring it on the slides and preach it. But there's something about it. He said God sends revival through individuals that'll yield themselves to him. Amen. So sometimes the reasons that we get blessed here in the service isn't just because of the studying that I did or the praying over what tape to pick or you know, who to have speak or whatever it would be. It isn't just because Brother Furman or Brother Hoover took time to pray about what songs to sing in the service and the musicians sat down and prayed about what songs to start the service off with. It's not just those things. Oh, that adds to it. And we thank God for it. We thank God for brothers and sisters that won't just haphazardly just, you know, throw a dart at a board and say, well, we'll just play this song, or well, we'll just pick this tape. Any of them's good. Hey, that's right. Any of them are good, but there's a time and a perfect will of God for what tape to play and what sermon to preach and what song to sing. You can be in his will or out of his will. Amen. So we want to seek him for those things, but it's not always just what's taking place up here, but many times it's because some of you slipped in 30 minutes earlier out at home all week or at work. You was praying for the service and you was praying for the musicians and you was praying for the pastor to pick the right thing for the right service. And that impact many times, sometimes we're thinking, Lord, why are you leading me down this path? Why would I say this? Why would I study this? This sermon is so simple and so basic. How will it help anybody? And somebody out there saying, yes, Lord, that's what I needed. That's what I was praying for. Would it have happened if they hadn't prayed? God can sometimes, if we're stubborn, won't do the work. He'll let somebody else pull the load for a while for us. But many times you don't realize the impact that you're having on a service or on a person at your work or whatever it is, if we can just yield and do our part. Brother Branham said it's not the holy man or the holy pope or the holy this or holy people. He said it's the Holy Spirit anointing the people. Amen. And he can anoint you just as much, not maybe in the same gift, not maybe in the same capacity, but he can anoint you just as much as he can the pastor or anybody else if you'll just yield to what he has for you. Now, if you try to take somebody else's place, you'll never be successful. But if you can find, Lord, what is my place, and you'll yield to it, we'll find what the prophet said. He said, that man or woman will be a success if they can find their part and yield to it. You know, Brother Bam said that Samson could yield his strength to God. Maybe God had been trying to find a man. There in the day of Judges, you know, they were fighting physical battles and physical trials, and they needed a mighty man of valor that could yield his strength to God. Brother Branham said, Samson, just a curly-headed shrimp there. He said, oh, if he was a great thing, looked like his shoulders like barn doors and things like that, he said it wouldn't have been any miracle for him to do what he did. But he said, here this little curly-headed shrimp, but yet he could yield his strength to God. And when he did, God could do so much through it, but yet he couldn't yield his heart to God. And he had a problem with that. And many times, as we looked at last week, if we're not careful, We'll yield in one area of our life and we'll do pretty good in that, but we won't lay everything else out and say, Lord, I don't want to just yield my heart. I don't want to just yield my strength. I don't want to just yield my finances. I don't want to just yield my time to go to church on Sunday and Wednesday. Lord, I want my whole life to be yielded to you. Lord, I want my emotions to be yielded to you. I want my time to be yielded to you. I want my drive to work to be yielded to you. I want my time of reading to be devoted to what would you have me read? Lord, I want my time of going out, whatever errands I have to run. Lord, I've got to go get groceries, and I've got to go do this, and I have things I have to do in my life as a human being. But I want you to lead me and guide me through that so that I can be a blessing to somebody while I'm out there picking up milk or whatever it is. Use me at the grocery. Use me at school. Use me. You know, a lot of people get this mentality that they want to just be completely taken out of the world, and they want to avoid everything, any contact with any unbeliever or anything. Yeah, you know, they would have had that to me just doesn't match the pattern of the book of Acts very good. When they were going out, doesn't match Jesus' life very good. We claim to be Christ-like, but Brother Bram said Jesus got down in the dust with the sinners and the drunkards and the prostitutes. Now, he didn't tell us to go out in the bars and go down into the bad parts of town and do all that, but yet when you see those people, Jesus didn't go down to the whorehouse to witness to the prostitute, but he saw her by the well, and he had a need and a purpose to go by the well so that he could shine a light to her. He didn't tell all the disciples, now boys, don't you go out here and testify because you might be deceived by somebody, or don't you go out here and help anybody because you might get tempted or dragged into something. But we were to shine our lights. Paul said, as long as we're in this body, we can't be taken out of this world, but yet we're not part of this world. We're living in an atmosphere that's different from this world, but yet don't let the atmosphere of the world impact you, but let your atmosphere impact the world. Amen. That's what we're called to do. Why are people so tossed about? We already looked at that one, didn't we? Paul in Romans, he says in chapter 6, verse 12, he said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's why, you know, this mentality of the Holy Spirit's hands are tied, nobody can do nothing. When I go back and I read Paul's words, and I go back and I listen to the prophet, I don't hear that at all. Paul's telling us, yield yourselves as members. Yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. What's he telling us? The same thing that God told Moses to do. What's that in your hand? Just a staff, Lord. Take that and do something with it. Shamgar, what's that in your hand? Just an old ox goad. Take it and do something with it. Noah, what's that in your hand? Well, nothing but an old hammer here. Take it and do something with it, Noah. The little boy down there on the loaves and fishes, what's that in your hand? Not very much, Lord. Give it to me and let me show you what I can do with it. Amen. Yield what you have. You may not have very much. You may think, oh my, I can't imagine being able to stand in a prayer line and see visions and things like Brother Bram didn't call out and discern the hearts and the intents of the people's hearts and the Son of Man ministry. God didn't call me to do that. I wasn't born into that. I can't imagine what that would be like. I can't either. Some of you might say, oh my, to see some of these brothers get up under the anointing and preach like a house on fire. I don't know. I can't even imagine my mental faculties having the ability to remember all that and say all that and do all that. Hey, we don't either. It's not our mental faculties. Amen. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit, but God may never use you in that way. Some of you hear some of these people get up like Brother Ben and sing like he does, and you think, oh my. My, when he gets up and sings and the presence of the Lord falls on the people, hey, if I got up and sang, the only thing that would be falling is the back door as people knocked it down. Maybe you wasn't called to that. But take what you have and yield it to him. Amen. Take what's in your hand and use it for the Lord. Amen. He calls people to be helps. He calls people with gifts, 9 spiritual gifts. Brother Branham said they should be in every church. The 5 ministering gifts, he calls people. He calls housewives to live a life in front of their children, to set an example before their children, to train their children in the things of the scriptures. Brother Branham called her the 5th gospel. A man that they claim was a woman hater. I never heard him call any man a 5th gospel. But he called the true mother the 5th gospel. God calls a woman to that. Amen. You think there's women out here out in the streets of Louisville and Jeffersonville, New Albany, that can just make themselves the fifth gospel? No way. But God can use a woman to yield herself and to do a little Bible study there at the house with the children and to live a life before them. And what are they seeing? The Word being made manifest. He said, wait a minute, brother. The Word being made manifest, I thought that was just for the prophet and just for the Savior and just for some of these great mighty men of the Bible. Oh, my. Don't let Satan tell you that.
Amen.
Amen. They just fulfill different scriptures than we do. Amen. God didn't call me to fulfill Malachi 4. What a waste of my time if I would try to fulfill Malachi 4 and get up here and try to impersonate a gift or impersonate the Son of Man ministry. What a failure it would be because he never called me. I wasn't born to that. I wasn't called to that. God already came and did that. I don't have to imitate it or try to do it. But yet God calls us to a place. He didn't call me to fulfill Revelations 10:7. It's already been fulfilled. But he did say there's a bride and she'll make herself ready. And there'll be a group of people in this age that will become that Word made manifest. Amen. There's many other scriptures that he talks about. There's many other quotes that it's going to take somebody in this age to fulfill the Word for the age. How are we going to do it? Yield ourselves unto God. As those that are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Amen. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? Brother Branham said, let me walk into a man's home. Let me walk into his job. And he said, I can tell what's inside of the man because I can tell what he's feeding on.
Right.
What he's feeding on, what he's looking at. What he spends his time reading, the type of music that he listens to, the type of things that he spends his time doing. He could tell what type of man it was. Why? Because whoever we yield our members to, that's whose servants we are.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh my. Said, oh, I left the message and I feel so free. No, what you did was you just changed masters.
Amen.
Hey man, I don't want the master that they've got. Everybody's serving somebody. I'd rather serve the Lord than serve the devil. They say, oh, we're so free. We can cut our hair and we can wear our short shorts. No, you're not free. You're just serving a different master than we are because you've yielded yourselves, your members, your body, your conscience, your desires. You've yielded that to a different master and you're a servant to whatever master you yield yourself to obey. To whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, or delivered to you rather. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness.
Amen.
What a paradox. Jesus said, whoever the Son has set free is free indeed. And then he turns around and said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How can I be free if I'm yoked? Paul said, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Yet here he is. I'm free. I'm free. What was he? He was free in the Spirit. Amen. He was free to do whatever he wanted in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. But when we unshackle ourselves, when we recognize that Jesus Christ came to deliver us from the bondage of sin and death, he comes and he takes those shackles off of us and he comes and he places his yoke upon us. He says, hey, that guy you've been serving, my, that was the road to death. The penalty of sin is death and there's pleasure in it for a season, but then thereof is death. But he said, my yoke is easy.
Amen.
And my burden is light.
Yes.
So we're made free from sin. But we become a servant unto righteousness. He said, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness.
Amen.
Oh, I thought Brother Branham was that holiness stuff was just something that he made up. But no, Paul said, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. What's it going to do? When the Holy Spirit comes, it's going to clean things up. It's going to get all the trash out of the house, Brother Bram said in the token. It's going to kick a lot of that stuff that you used to love to do because you were yielding your members to sin. It's going to kick all that stuff to the curb and kick it in the trash. But now you're going to yield your members as servants to righteousness and to holiness. You know, I don't know about some of you, but there's something about it. You know, if you're going to serve something, if you're going to do something, Brother Bram told Brother Billy Paul, he said, Billy, do whatever you do. Do it as the best that you can do. He said, if you're going to be a bum, be the best bum there is. Don't ever work a day in your life. And some of you, when you was out in sin, that's how you did it. Buddy, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. And if I'm going to get drunk, I'm going to get drunk as a skunk. And if I'm going to party, I'm going to paint the town red. And if I'm going to go do this, but then when you became a Christian, if you could yield yourself that much to Satan, how come when many people become Christian, they kind of just want to tiptoe around the borderland? And well, I don't want people to think that I'm too fanatical, and I don't want to think, oh my, you could go have your keg parties and your tailgate parties and all kinds of parties, and you didn't care what people thought of you. You didn't care how you acted. You didn't care if they thought you was an idiot. Like those women going down through there, the hotel there, whoopee, this is life. Why? Because you were serving unrighteousness. And maybe you were a good servant. Maybe you did it the best of your ability. And you went out. You didn't care what people thought of you. You didn't care how you acted. You didn't care what your family thought. You didn't care what you did. Your motive was you were going to serve this thing to the best of your ability. And then we come to church and, I'm just not very emotional. I don't want to. This is about as high as my hand raises because the people behind me might see if I raise it any higher. Oh, if we could serve Jesus with the same stamina that many of us used to serve the devil. Well, praise the Lord. Jesus met a man in Gadara. In fact, he was tired. If you go back and read the scriptures in a row there, he had healed the sick. He had fed the multitudes. And he's so tired, he gets in a boat and they push off and they go across the Sea of Gennesaret there, which is also the Sea of Galilee, Sea of Tiberias. It has many different names. They push across to go over there, to cross over to the other side of Gennesaret. And as they get over and they begin to go across the sea, a storm comes up and the devils try to drown them and everything. Oh, Satan, when you go to do something for God, Satan will try everything he can do to try to discourage you from it. And so as he gets across it, now he's trying to sleep in the boat and the storm comes up and the disciples wake him. He calms the storm and finally they make it across the next morning to Gennesaret. The boat lands on the shores there and he gets out of the boat and he begins to walk down the shoreline. And here a man comes running to him. And he says, begins to cry out and call Jesus the Son of God. And Jesus asks him in Mark chapter 5, verse 9, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, Brother Branham said that the way that this man started, now the scripture doesn't say this, but Brother Branham said it, so I just take it as that's how it was. You say, I don't have that much confidence, Brother Nathan. I just don't know about that. Well, when Moses said that Esau was red and hairy, he wasn't there, but I just take it like that's how it was because it's in the scripture and he was a prophet. He could go back and tell us. But then when a prophet in this day says Eve had blonde hair and blue eyes, people say, I just don't know about that. Well, you might as well mark out that scripture about Esau then, because how could Moses know what color hair Esau had and how much of it he had? The same way that Brother Branham could know that Eve had blonde hair and blue eyes. When he said, something strange happened last night. He said, here I was on the platform. And he said, just before the visions begin to break over the audience, he said, I saw Adam and Eve step out of the garden together. I'd say he knew what color hair she had. Amen. That's how Moses knew all these things that he wrote that happened thousands of years before he ever picked up his pen as he was riding on a camel or camping by the side of the tabernacle there in between travels or whatever it was. And he begins to write, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Somebody looked over his shoulder and said, Moses, how do you know? You wasn't there. He said, I just saw it a few moments ago. Amen. Glory. This man says, my name is Legion, for we are many. Brother Branham said the way this started, he said Legion was a pretty good guy before. We don't know what his name was before he became Legion. But he said he was a pretty good guy. And One night he went out to a party with some of his work friends and he did some things that he shouldn't. And he came home and he lied to his wife about it. And he said, that's where it started. And he said, from that, then he began to do more and more and more. And it's like a spider web, just one little spider web around you. That's not, oh, I can just like Samson, just burst that chain anytime I want. But you just let Satan keep weaving and weaving. And weaving, and now where it went from maybe one demon, one little lying spirit, oh, maybe it was just a little white lie. Maybe he told them, they went to one restaurant and really went to the bar with them and had a few drinks, and maybe it's just one little white lie. But now from that, Satan begins to come with another spirit and another spirit and another spirit. And by the time Jesus meets him there, he's cutting himself with rocks and stones. And he's living in the graveyards. And they tried to chain him. And he would break the chains. And no man could go near him. He's out there living naked and scarred from his sinful life. And he comes and he says, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, I don't know what the man's name was before this, but that wasn't that man speaking. It wasn't that man calling him Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. That man didn't know, have any idea who this man was getting off the boat. But what is it? Two spirits meet. And one says, my name is Legion, for we are many. Brother Branham says it this way in Questions and Answers 1959. That man was so completely yielded to the devil, till the devil used his tongue to talk. Now we have a problem in this age, or some people do, that, you know, Brother Jimmy, you can't do nothing, buddy. We don't need you. Sister Janie, you can't help nobody. We don't need you. We've already got everything we need. Why would I need you, Brother Hoover? God can't use nobody else to talk in this age. But yet we'll read our Bible and believe that God could so deal with a situation that he could speak through a donkey to a backslidden prophet. And we'll read the Bible and we'll hear a man come and begin to talk to Jesus, who had yielded himself so much to the devil that the devil could literally speak through his lips. We'll hear a prophet of God come and say that how in a service a man asked him to come down the basement and pray for his wife, and she came crawling on her back to him and hissing like a snake and said, William Branham, you have nothing to do with her. I brought her here. The man said, Brother Branham, she hasn't spoken a word in 2 years. How did she know who you were? He said, that's not her. That's not her. Might be her vocal cords, but that's not her. If we can believe that somebody can yield so much to the devil that God can, or that the devil can speak through their vocal cords, you think he's stronger than God? You think he's got more power than God, Brother Anthony? That the devil, I could yield myself to him and he's more powerful than God. He could use me, but that God couldn't use the same person if they'd yield to him? The man was so completely yielded to the devil till the devil used his tongue to talk. Now you can be so completely yielded to God till God can use your tongue to talk. Amen. Now, he wasn't just talking to a group of pastors. He wasn't just talking to a group of prophets or missionaries or teachers, but he's talking in Jeffersonville to a group of people right before Christmas, December the 23rd, 1959. And he says, You can be so completely yielded to God till God can use your tongue to talk. Right. Now, sometimes we don't have problems with gifts. Oh, I believe God speaks through my pastor. Oh, I've seen God use my pastor. I've seen God use some of these visiting ministers. I've heard God speak to me through a tape. I've heard God do this and do that. But when it comes to you, can you believe that you can yield enough to where he can speak through you? You may never prophesy. You may never speak in tongues. You may never foretell the future. You may never stand in a pulpit and preach an anointed sermon. But God can use your lips and your tongue to speak to somebody. I'll ask you this, not to embarrass either one of them. Who was it that asked Brother Luke the other week about coming back to be a deacon when he didn't know that it was the Holy Spirit had been dealing with him for weeks and weeks on it, and Brother Luke didn't even know how to respond, just looked at him and walked away? Was that just David Hoover's imagination? Was that just a friendly little conversation that, oh, this is just a cute little idea. I'll just say this because Brother Luke's my buddy. I don't believe that. I believe it was the Holy Spirit working on both ends of the line. I believe God. And you know, sometimes we go home and kick ourselves. Why did I do that? I might have hurt that person's feeling. They might not understand why I said it. Lord, I don't understand why I said it. Why did I call that person at midnight when they were probably half asleep and tell them I was praying for them? Why did I walk up to that person in Kroger and let them know I'm concerned for their family and that I'm praying for them? They might have got offended by that. Was that you speaking, or was it the Holy Spirit working in you? If we'll really listen and we really know ourselves, we can usually tell if it was just Nathan Bryant or if it was the Holy Spirit, or you read your name in tonight. You can usually tell, because usually he'll make you act in ways that you really didn't want to act. And he'll make you do things that, if you'll be honest with yourselves, you didn't really want to do. And he'll make you say things to people that you think, Lord, I don't want to say that. And he keeps telling you, you better do it. And you think, well, what if I don't say it? And then that person winds up in trouble because of it. What is it? He's still speaking through people tonight.
Amen.
If a man could yield himself so much to demonic power to where a demon spirit could literally use the man's vocal cords and speak to the Son of God on the desert there or on the sands of Gennesaret. If a woman could so yield herself to the presence and the anointing of a demonic power that she could speak to a vindicated prophet of God in a basement, how much more can we, as the bride of Jesus Christ, yield ourselves that God would be able to speak something that would encourage that person that's maybe right on the brink of committing suicide, or maybe right on the brink of just walking away from everything and saying, I don't understand it. My professor says this, and this one on my job says this, and this one at my school says this, and I don't know what to believe anymore. And the Holy Spirit quickens something to you, and it dropped down their heart, and they say, that's what I needed, Lord. That's what I needed. That person didn't know. That person standing in Kroger, that person on my job, that person at my school, they might not have known, but I knew.
Right?
Amen. We know when it's speaking to us, if we'll be honest with ourselves. Now you can get mad and say, oh, that person just shouldn't meddle in my business. Or you can recognize that was the Holy Spirit warning. That was the Holy Spirit convicting. That was the Holy Spirit trying and trying and trying. Maybe you haven't listened to the scriptures the way you should. Maybe you haven't listened to the tapes the way you should, but he'll send somebody to get your attention if you're one of his.
Right.
Brother Branham said, if I was God, you know, I love the way he says that, because if he believed it, I don't think he would have phrased it that way. He said, if I was God, he said, if people wouldn't take my word for it, he said, that'd just be it. But he said, God is so long-suffering. He sends his word and he sends his prophets. And he sends his ministers and he sends people into your life and, you know, witnesses and testimonies and gifts and tongues and different things. And he tries to get our attention. He is so long-suffering and patient. And you wonder sometimes, how many people is he going to have to use before he gets that person's attention? You can be so completely yielded to God till God can use your tongue to talk. He said, that's right. That's what I claim. Any sermon that I ever preached that had any meaning to it is when I got yielded, got William Branham out of the way, and Christ could take in and start talking. Now he begins to talk about the man from Portland, Oregon. You know, the man that he said hated preachers and ran in and was going to hit Brother Branham and said, today you'll lay at my feet. I'll break every bone in your body. And the Holy Spirit, speaking back through Brother Branham, said, no. Because you've challenged the Holy Spirit, you'll lay right here at the platform at my feet. Now, the Holy Spirit didn't come out and wasn't boastful and said, bless God, I'll do this, and bless God, I'll do that. Bless God, I challenge this one, and I challenge that one. But the demonic spirit in this man had come in and had challenged the Holy Spirit and said, I'll break every bone in your body. Now, it wasn't that, you know, you say challenge the Holy Spirit. He didn't challenge the Holy Spirit. He challenged William Branham, just a man standing there in the platform. But he didn't recognize what was down on the inside of that vessel.
Right.
You realize sometimes when we say something about somebody else or they say something about us, we should be careful, because it's not necessarily just that person that we're offending, but the Holy Spirit down on the inside of that person might be offended. Praise the Lord. And he comes in and he says, I'll break every bone in your body. Now, Brother Branham just standing there, he said, I felt sorry for the man. The man hawks and spits in his face. He said, I felt sorry for him. Wonder if we could yield ourselves that much tonight. To a man, where a man come in and slap us upside the face or spit in our face. And we think, I feel so sorry for the man. I just want to pray for him. Pray for his lost soul. But he's so yielded. And he's standing there under the anointing on the platform. And this man comes and spits in his face. And he says, because you challenged. Now, it wasn't Brother Branham speaking. He said, before I knew what I was saying, he said, I heard myself say, because you've challenged the Holy Spirit, tonight shall lay at my feet. And the man said, lay at your feet. And now, you realize this is a conversation going on by two people that aren't talking. Maybe you've stood in parking lots in churches and had conversations like that and didn't realize that it wasn't just those two people talking, but it was two spirits warring against one another. Maybe you stood on your job. Maybe you stood in the living room of your home or at a family member's house. Or maybe you've stood in message churches. And what has it been? Two spirits warring against another. Many times you say things and you don't understand why you said it. And maybe they said things and they didn't understand why. And what was it? Two spirits warring against each other. And here this man comes in totally possessed and totally yielded to this demon spirit out of an insane institution. Had just broke a man's neck the day before punching him. And now he runs in and he's going to break every bone in Brother Branham's body. The spirit speaks and says, and before Brother Branham even has an opportunity to say something back, so yielded to the Holy Spirit that now the Holy Spirit speaks back to the man. And this conversation going on before a crowd, no doubt everybody sitting there didn't realize, you know, I don't think that's Brother Branham. I don't think that's that man. I think that's the devil and the Holy Spirit talking. Most people probably didn't recognize that. Why? Because it was William Branham's vocal cords. Sounded just like him. Sounded just the way he did when he said, good evening, friends. Didn't sound any different. Amen. The man there, some of his family members or relatives, they said, oh my, yeah, he's been a rough hombre since I was a little kid. He used to start fights in our family get-togethers and our family reunions. And oh my, I've heard his voice before. I know what he sounds like. But it wasn't the man, just because the man's vocal cords sounded a certain way. He was so yielded that it wasn't even him speaking. Wasn't the man. And he challenges the prophet. He challenges the Holy Spirit on the inside of the prophet. And the prophet, before he can mentally, William Branham, even think of a response, the Holy Spirit speaks back. Two men standing there saying words and neither one of them has spoke a thing yet. Now, Brother Branham says about this man, questions and answers, the same sermon. 1959, December the 23rd. Now, in that man, he's talking about the man from Portland, Oregon. In that man was some of these spirits that was cast out of the swine in Gadara. Now he's asking a question. Brother Branham, what happened to those spirits that was in Gadara? Where did they go? Well, we found out some of them were in Portland, Oregon. Now how did they make their way through time and through distance all the way across the big pond there? From way over in Jerusalem, from way over in Gennesaret. And now some of them are right there standing in a meeting in Portland, Oregon, 2,000 years later. You say, I don't believe that, Brother Nathan. Well, you'll have a hard time accepting the message in the Bible then. Spirits don't die. Brother Branham said, God takes his man and Satan takes his man, but spirits don't die. And here, some of these spirits that was back there in Gadara, 2,000 years before, Brother Lee, on the sands and shores of Gadara, are speaking to another spirit that was back a couple thousand years before that on a man named Elijah. And yet they're on two totally different people in two totally different geographic locations in two totally different time zones in the spectrum of time and eternity. But these spirits speaking to one another. With some of these spirits that was cast out of the swine in Gadara, some of these poor people are out here in insane institutions, beating their heads against padded bars, cells. Remember, devils never die. Devils always live. But there will be a time where devils will have to die. They'll become totally annihilated. But now they are alive and they work from generation to generation upon human beings. Some of them in the form of cancer. Some of them in the form of epilepsy. Some of them in the form of tuberculosis, they get into the flesh, but seemingly they are powerless until they can get into a person. Remember, when Brother Branham's in a prayer line, and we were just listening to a tape tonight as I was getting ready, and Brother Branham was talking to a lady there in the prayer line, and he said, now just a moment. He said, whatever's wrong with you is wrong on this person right out here. Now, William Branham, the person, the mental capacity, the temperament of William Branham doesn't know what's wrong with these two people yet, but there's a spirit down on the inside of him that's quickening something, and he recognizes in another dimension, he hears a spirit here on the platform crying out to a spirit out there in the audience. And he says, I don't even know what you have, but whatever you have is out there on this person too. And then the Holy Spirit comes in and speaks to him and tells them what they both had, and they're both delivered. What was it? The same thing on those demons in Gadara crying, oh, don't just cast us away. Send us into something so that we can work through it. He said those cancer demons would cry out to one another for help because they knew they were about to be exposed and the person was about to be delivered. Why? He says, seemingly, they are powerless until they can get into a person. They have to operate through a person, which brings us to another thought. That the Holy Spirit covers the earth, but is almost helpless until it gets into you and to me. God is depending on you and I, see? My goodness, I'm glad he said that, not me. Because if I had got up here tonight and just told you, the Holy Spirit is almost helpless without me and you, you'd have thought, oh my, is elections coming up yet, Brother Hoover? Because we're starting to have some concerns. But I'm glad that I can take you back and show you that it's not the words of Nathan Bryant. I don't even believe it was just the words of William Branham. But the Holy Spirit anointing him there, he says the Holy Spirit covers the earth, but it is almost helpless until it gets into you and to me. God is depending on you and I, see? You say, give me some scripture for that, Brother Nathan. Why did the Lord come down and visit Ananias and say, go lay hands on my servant Paul? Why didn't the Holy Spirit just go take care of Paul himself? Why did the Holy Spirit take Philip from a wonderful revival of thousands of people that he was having in Samaria and physically translate the man hundreds of miles away to an Ethiopian man? Why didn't the Holy Spirit just show him? Why didn't the Holy Spirit just drop down and say, hey, Ethiopian brother, you're a member of the Bride of this Age. I'm just going to enlighten you. Because God always uses his body, and his body is the Bride of Jesus Christ. It's a many-membered body. He don't have to use me for everything. He don't have to use you for everything. But he's going to use somebody. Hey, man, how did you hear about this? Did a little cloud just drop down in your room, Brother Hoover, and say, Hoover, thou shalt go to this certain place, and thou shalt pick up these certain tapes, and thou shalt listen? Or did somebody come along and say, Brother David, there's something, I know your daddy was in some of his meetings, but there's something more to this than you've realized. What was it? Was that just somebody on a whim thinking, well, I'm going to go do something today. Bless God. I'm going to go down. I'm going to convert somebody. It was the Holy Spirit working on both ends of the line. Why? Because the seed always travels through the body. And he'll use somebody. Maybe it was just a tape that somebody handed to you. Maybe it was just a prayer that somebody prayed for you. Maybe it was a testimony that somebody shared for you. Maybe it was a service that you sat under and the preacher got up that morning and he thought, I don't know why I'm preaching this. Like I did that morning, Brother Hoover, Brother Joel and Sister Christy, when they first started visiting our church. You forgive me, I know I'm running a little over time tonight, but I'm going to keep talking as long as he's moving, all right? And if you get tired, you just go ahead and leave. Well, I'll make Brother Hoover keep the song service short tonight. Is that okay? Unless the Holy Spirit starts moving in that, and then I won't stop him either. Brother Joel and Sister Christy, when they first started visiting, when we was back at the old schoolhouse there, most of you know it as the Prather House. It used to be an old one-room schoolhouse. And Brother Anthony and I, my dad had bought a little minivan, and we would pack it full of some folding chairs and the old PA equipment that Brother Morse had given us and a piano that Mom and Dad had bought me back before I ever knew I was going to be a pastor. And we'd pack it all up in a minivan, And we'd drive down on a Saturday night, and somebody'd be having a baby shower or a wedding shower there, and so we'd go and get us some fast food or something. We'd come back an hour later, and still people fellowshipping there, and we'd drive around for a while and come back, and finally they'd clear out, and we'd go in maybe midnight at night and set up the folding chairs and set up the PA equipment and hook up the cables and set everything up, the mic stands and the piano and all that. And then I was working full-time at the time. I'd go back home and study till about 3 or 4 in the morning, and we'd get there, and we had about 14 people coming faithfully at the time. And, you know, two of the families would be on vacation. Two of them would be sick, and we'd show up, and there'd be maybe seven people there. And I think the devil would get on my back and say, "Are you an idiot? What are you doing? You're not helping anybody. You're wasting your time. You're making a fool of yourself." Oh, yeah. He ever talk to you like that? Or is it just me? Does he just pick on me? And then somebody would come up after service and say, "Brother Nathan, you just don't know how much I need to hear that." I'd say, "Thank you, Lord. That'll give me strength to go on another week." And we'd go on like that. And Brother Joel and Sister Christy started visiting, and they were kind of going back and forth, visiting the two different churches at the time. And they had a relative come in town, and they got to talking in the car on the way to church. And they were actually headed somewhere else for service that day. And as the conversation began to go, Brother Joel just turns the car and starts heading a different direction. They come up and show up at our doorstep at the service that morning. And that night I'd been studying and praying, "Lord, what do you have for me for the people tomorrow? I don't know what to preach. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. What would you have me to do? What would you have me? Am I going to play a tape? Am I going to preach? What am I going to do?" And this thought came to my heart, just, what does it mean to be a Christian? I thought, that we ain't got nothing but Christians. Everybody knows that. Why would I preach that, Brother Hoover? He kept dealing with me. I started studying, put a few little pages of notes together. And so this relative of Brother Joel and Sister Christy, she asked them in the car, in the minivan, she said, "What does it mean to be a Christian?" Brother Joel just turns the car and head over and get out of the car and walk in, sit down. I said, "I got an odd topic this morning. I don't know really who it's for, but Lord laid on my heart to preach what it means to be a Christian this morning." Of course, they were looking at one another and nudging one another, and you know, they knew nobody had called ahead and phoned a friend or anything. And what was it? The Holy Spirit working on both ends of the line.
Amen.
As I've said before, that doesn't make me anything. Against my own better judgment, thinking, "Lord, is this really? Is this really what you have for me? Lord, is this the thought that you'd have me to share with this group of people that most of them have been in the message for years? Why something so simple?" But the Holy Spirit kept saying, "This is what it is." What is it? The Holy Spirit work on both of those lines. Why? Because he's almost helpless until he gets into you and me and somebody else so that he can work on both ends of the line. It takes him to do that. I don't get the glory for that. I didn't know what I was doing. A lot of times I don't, Brother Hoover. These other minister brothers, to be honest with themselves, a lot of times they don't know what they're doing either. We think, "Lord, why? Why this? Why would you impress on my heart over and over? Yield, just one word over and over." That's not, you know, in the message, we like big, long titles, you know, future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride and things like that. God hiding himself in simplicity and revealing it in the same thing. And you get into some of these movements and they won't have to outdo Brother Branham. And you know, they'll have a whole page and it's just the title of some of the things that they want to come at. Yield, one little word? But I'm glad I did yield to him. I mean, maybe he's trying to help somebody. God is depending on you and I. He said, the Holy Spirit, the earth is full of the Spirit of God, but it's poured out. But it cannot operate until it comes unto us, we human beings, to operate. Let me read it again. It cannot operate until it comes into us, we human beings, to operate. You say, "Brother Nathan, in the message today, I just don't think that that's necessary. I don't think that that's what really we should be teaching." That is what the whole day of Pentecost was about.
Amen.
That was what Jesus was talking about in St. John, the last few chapters there. You go back and read St. John 13, 14, 15, 16. He's talking to the disciples. Judas finally leaves, and he can really just reveal himself to the rest of the disciples. And he says, "I won't leave you comfortless." He never said that to Judas. He wasn't going to come and dwell in Judas.
Amen.
"I won't leave you comfortless, but I'll come and make my abode in you. And at that day, you'll know that I'm in you and you in me. And me and the Father and him and me. What is it? He was going to divide himself on the day of Pentecost so that he could come and operate. What did Brother Branham say? He said they call it the Acts of the Apostles, but he said it shouldn't be titled that. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit working through the apostles.
Amen.
What did he say? Revelation of Jesus Christ there at the beginning of the church ages. We just heard it a couple Sunday mornings ago. Brother Branham said, whatever it is in a conversation with somebody, take them back to the day of Pentecost. He said that was where the church started. He said in the church age book there, he said, if the true vine ever puts forth another branch, it'll produce another book of Acts. What was the book of Acts? The Holy Spirit getting in this one and going and working. Getting a little woman that made quilts and things for people and did so much for the people and helped them and worked with them so much that the people came and said, oh, Paul, the brother was talking about it at the memorial service the other day. He said, oh, Paul, she made this for us and she did this and we love her so much. And the Holy Spirit on him began to speak and she rose right back up. The Holy Spirit working in individuals. Being helps, being leaderships, being ministers, being housewives, being apostles and prophets and tongues and prophecies and wisdoms and knowledge and healings.
Amen.
Why? How? If he could get somebody to yield,
yeah,
that he could operate through, that he could work through.
Amen.
Oh my, he's longing tonight. There's a spot I was trying to get to last week and I didn't get to it. I've been trying all night to get to it tonight, and I still didn't get to it. Maybe next week we'll get to it. But I can't get into that tonight, or we'll be here another 30 minutes or an hour. But if we can yield ourselves, if we can yield ourselves, not so that Nathan Bryant can get glory, not so that David Hoover or Jimmy Ard or Trevor Emond or somebody can get glory, so that he can get glory.
Amen.
You see, when God does something, God does it in such a supernatural way to make sure that nobody gets the glory. When God was going to have them go, and I'm trying to close. Musicians, if you'll come, that'll help me know that it's time to close. When God was going to take them out of Egypt, and he came and delivered them with a mighty hand, an anointed, vindicated prophet comes and delivers them out of bondage with plagues and signs and wonders. And then that anointed prophet, during the wandering in the wilderness, God takes him off the scene. And now there's a change of dispensations where the prophet has gone off the scene, but God is still going to take a group of people that's going to go forward, and they're not going to have their own new message. They're not going to do away with the message that that vindicated prophet had, but they're going to take that message. And when he said, Joshua, go over there and you give this part of the land to this group and this part of the land to that group. And Caleb, you go take your mountain and you go do this and you go do that and you abide by my laws and my precepts and things. Now the prophet's gone off the scene, but there's going to be a group of people that came out of Egypt, that came out of their old organizations and things, that is going to take what the prophet said and now they're going to put it into action. They're not going to come up with their own word. They're not going to come up with some new way of doing it, but they're going to do what the prophet said. And now they begin to go across Jordan. And when they get to go across, Brother Branham said, you know, if God had been a strategist, if he had been a military planner, he would have brought them across at a different time of year. But he said he brings them. He had 40 years to get them to this spot. He could have picked another time of the year for 40 different years to get them to this spot. But he brings them there in April when all the snow's beginning to melt off the caps and all the showers and rains and things are coming in. And now the Jordan is spread to its greatest width and greatest depth that it's ever going to be of the entire year. God, why would you bring us here at this time and at this place? Because if I didn't, they would have thought it was you, Joshua. But I'm going to prove to them that it's not a man, it's not a personality, it's not somebody's opinion, it's not somebody's mental ability to memorize or work somebody up, but it's me doing it, Joshua.
Amen.
It's me that's going to take you over. Brother Bram said, our Joshua is the Holy Spirit. We've had all kinds of Joshuas. Oh, this brother's a Joshua, that brother's a Joshua. Oh my, this brother's a great teacher. This one, he's going to take us. You know who's going to take us? He's going to take us. But how's he going to do it? Through you, through me, through different people. He was working.
Right.
Amen. The priests stepped out their feet there. You know, God didn't just say, Joshua, stand all the people back and I'm going to just come down and strike the river with lightning. He said, you tell those priests to take the ark. Take the word and pack it. Don't compromise with it because it's going to offend somebody. Don't take down the pictures of Moses with the pillar of fire. Don't be ashamed to read the commandments and the quotes that Moses gave you. But you take that word and you pack it on your shoulders. Amen. Don't bring your new ideas or your new carts or your new ways of doing it. But you pack the word that I already gave. And as soon as their feet touch that water, I'm going to start to do some dividing and separating. You know, sometimes when we begin to meddle in things, it does a little dividing and separating them. But if it's God, there's a reason. You know, when he spoke the first time audibly that we know of, and he said, let there be light, it separated light from darkness. Brother Bram said, he's still doing it. He's still doing it. But as soon as those priests stepped their feet in the water, the waters began. Now, wasn't the priest doing it? Wasn't Joshua doing it? What were they doing? Lord, you said it. Your word spoke it. Amen. The prophet told us we got to take this land. Well, the land's on the other side of this water. We got to get across it somehow. Right. Maybe they were questioning, Lord, why is Joshua really following the anointing of the Holy Spirit? You know, there's some other brothers in the congregation saying that October would have been a lot better time. That it'd have been a lot easier if we would have, you know, Lord, are you sure this man Joshua is the one you wanted to? Are you sure you wanted to anoint these men? Are you sure it's the priest that's going to take it over? We got some other men that are stronger to help carry the ark. Are you sure it's them that should carry the word? Oh my, maybe there was questioners and compromisers and confusion. But when they put God's word into action and obeyed it, God came and backed up his word. Amen. And the waters began to part. And they said, oh, we've seen this before. Yeah. We've seen this before. Maybe some of them hadn't because they had died back there in the wilderness. But Joshua and Caleb had seen it before. And the rest of them had heard the stories told about how back in 1959, back when they crossed the Red Sea, how that signs and wonders began to follow the believers, and how that the waters began to part and they crossed on dry land, and they began to recognize that God wasn't just talking to hear himself talk when he said, Joshua, don't be afraid. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you.
Amen.
That didn't make Joshua Moses. He didn't take Moses' place. Joshua never came and revealed more of the law. Joshua never went and delivered them out of Egypt again. Joshua never went and did all these other... Joshua wasn't vindicated with the same signs that Moses was vindicated with, but he didn't promise him that he'd vindicate him with the same ministry that Moses had. He said, I'll be with you like I was with Moses. You say, you believe that, Brother Nathan, in this age? Yes, I do, because the Lord Jesus Christ said it himself, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you, even in you, not till the end of some ministry, not till the end of some personality, till the end of the world.
Amen.
Amen. So he's still with us.
Amen.
He's still doing the leading. He's still doing the guiding. They recognize God is still working. Moses was off the scene, but the Holy Spirit was still anointing people, not to do away with Moses, but to do what Moses said.
Amen.
And now the waters part and they go across. What did it do? Didn't glorify Joshua, didn't glorify Caleb, didn't glorify the priests. God got the glory.
Amen.
Because he did it at such a supernatural time and place to where they knew it couldn't be a man doing it.
Amen.
Amen. We recognize many times it's not the person, it's not the man, it's not the hours of study or prayer even so much. It's the Holy Spirit that comes and quickens. Whether it's a preacher, whether it's a housewife, whether it's a deacon, a musician, whatever it is. He'll work through you tonight if you'll just yield to him. Amen. That's not my word. That's his word. Amen. That's not the words of Nathan Bryant. That's not just the words of William Branham or David Hoover or any other man. That's the words of God himself speaking, not only back there on the shores of Galilee, but speaking through a vindicated prophet in our day, telling us the Holy Spirit is looking for somebody he can work through, he can talk through, he can walk through, he can live through. Why? Because he's trying to express himself to the world today. How's he going to do it? Through you.
Man.
Through you. Through me. Through anybody that'll yield. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know I've taken more time than I normally do. And yeah, I didn't get to half of what I had on my heart as far as notes and things, Lord. But Lord, I found out a long time ago, you're greater than the notes. You're greater than anything I could pre-study or pre-plan or pre-meditate on, Lord. When we get here in this service, or whether it's a song or whether it's a sermon, whatever it would be, Lord, we want to yield to you. What would you have us to do? Lord, not every service is the same. Not every anointing is the same. Not every gift is the same. But all good gifts come from you, Lord. Whether it's a gift of singing, gift of testifying, gift of tongues, prophecy, interpretation, healings, knowledge, helps, whatever it would be, Lord. To anoint a housewife, how to raise her children. To anoint a husband, how to raise up a standard in his home and set an example. Not as a tyrant, not as a dictator, but Lord, as a Christ-like example. Lord, it takes you to do those things. It takes you to anoint. Help us to yield to you, Lord. Whatever you're calling us to, wherever you're placing us, help us to yield to it, Lord. Everybody's gift isn't the same. Everybody's ministry isn't the same. Everybody's personality isn't the same. But anybody that'll yield to you, Lord, you'll use them in the capacity that you're calling them to. Lord, if we can just yield to you, we'll be more successful in whatever aspect it is you're calling us. If it seems simple to us, if it seems silly, if it seems like something we don't even want to do, Lord, if it's you that's calling and we'll yield, we'll do better than anybody else we could try to emulate or impersonate or try to be. Lord, it'll never work if that's not what you're calling us to do. Lord, your prophet said, Billy Graham could, or he could never take Billy Graham's place, Billy Graham's ministry, and the things he was doing. He said, I doubt very much he could take mine, because you had called him to two different things. You were using him to two different groups of people and two different ways and two different anointings and gifts and ministries. Lord, I don't believe that just stays off in ministry life or ministerial gifts. But Lord, you call each one of us to our own place in the body of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to yield to you. Lord, maybe you're trying to use us to be more of a witness. Maybe you're trying to use us to be more of an intercessor, to pray for others. Maybe you're trying to get us to stir up a gift in our life as a minister or a musician or a singer, an exhorter, whatever it would be. Somebody that would just be an encourager to somebody else. Maybe Satan has tried to discourage us because of hurts and because of hurtful things that have been said. And we just be like, why should we even try anymore? Oh, help us to stir up that gift of encouragement in our life to encourage somebody else. Lord, Brother Branham told us when he was here that if he prayed for 10,000 people and all 10,000 of them died, he'd still be back the next night praying for the sick, because your word was the same and your word was true regardless of what the individual circumstance or results were. Your word remained the truth, Lord. So Lord, when we go to help somebody, Lord, and we know that it's you that's anointing and calling and you're trying to use us to help and encourage, Lord, if we fail and we fail and we fail and this one doesn't accept it and that one doesn't accept it and people hurt us or say hurtful things, help us to take that same mentality. Lord, if we try to help 10,000 and it doesn't seem like we're helping anybody, we're still going to try to help the next one. If we pray for 10,000 people and it doesn't seem like it has an impact, we'll still pray for the next one, Lord. Maybe that's the one you're wanting us to pray for. Maybe that's the one you're wanting to heal. Maybe that's the one you're wanting us. Lord, we recognize if we'll yield to your word and take you at your word, Lord, it's probably not going to be that way, that there'll be 10,000 failures to one result. But Lord, even if it is, your word's the same. Lord, it fulfills in its time and its season and its place when people can reach up and accept the faith. Lord, as I've said so many times, that man sitting there at the gate called Beautiful, Lord, no doubt you would walk right by that gate so many different times, in and out and in and out of the gates there. But yet there came a time when it was his day for healing. There came a time where his faith was raised to a level. And there came a time where you had anointed two men with a word of exhortation for him, to encourage him, with a word of prophecy. Lord, when they walked by, the man was healed. Lord, it was your time and your season for it. Lord, help us. Help us to pray, seek. Lord, when we should speak and when we should be silent. When we should help and when we should just sit by and pray. Give us wisdom. Give us strength. Use us, Lord, in any way you can. Lord, whether it's something simple or whether it's something great that would have a national impact, whatever it is, Lord, it shouldn't be about us getting the glory and how many people will know and how many people will pat us on the back. But Lord, it should be about you, that you get the glory, that you get the praise. We love you, Lord. Be with us. Help us, Lord. May the words spoken tonight, Lord, I know I've kept the people long, but may it have an impact on some of them that's sitting here tonight, that they'll go out and that you'll use them as vessels to help the lost, to help the needy, to encourage the discouraged, to pray for the sick, to pray the prayer of faith, Lord, to pray for deliverance for their lost loved ones, Lord. Give them the strength, Father. Give them the wisdom. Give them the words, Father. In Jesus Christ's name. Oh, and call on your name. Keep my faith renewed. Let's stand and sing it. Keep my eyes on thee. Oh, help me be on this earth what you'd want me to be. For they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Oh, they shall mount up with wings as an eagle. Sing it this way. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. Down on my knees. Oh, till in your own good time, Lord, you'll answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely. Oh, but help me wait in prayer for my answer from you. Oh, they that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Oh, they shall mount up with wings as an eagle. Your desire tonight, just teach me, Lord, to wait while hearts are aflame. Lord, help me humble all my pride. Oh, help me call on, help us to yield, Lord. Oh, keep my faith renewed. Just keep my eyes somebody else, but on thee, Lord. Help me be on this earth, Lord, what you've called me to be. For they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Oh, and they shall mount up. Oh, maybe you needed a little more strength tonight. Oh, why don't you mount up on the wings of the Word tonight? Let the Holy Spirit lift you higher. Oh, you'll run and not be weary. Church, you can walk, but you won't faint. Just teach me, Lord. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. We shall run and not be weary. Oh, we shall run.
Oh, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Oh, we shall wear a crown. I know we shall wear a crown. Oh, when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Oh, God, wear a crown. Come on, prepare. God, wear a crown. Not because I deserve it, because he gave it to me. Oh, I know when the battle's over, we shall. How, Brother Nathan? Nobody puts you in. Nobody can take you out. Oh, yeah, we're going to wear a crown. Oh, wear a crown. Going to wear a bright and shiny crown. Oh, in that new Jerusalem. Turn around and tell somebody nice. Just your desire, just keep me close to the side of my Savior and guide. Let me never in darkness roam. Lord, just keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Oh, fill my way. Oh, he'll satisfy it for you tonight. Soon this race will be o'er, and I'll travel no more, but abide in my home above. Just let me sing, blessed King, all the way to those shores. Fill my way every day. Oh, what is that, Brother Nathan? Freedom in the Spirit. Oh, every day with love. Don't it feel good to be free as I walk with the heaven? Fill my way one more time together. Oh, fill my way every day with love. Oh, as I walk, thank you, Lord. Let me go all wild with the song. God bless you. Let's sing it as we go. Greet somebody as you leave. Smile at them. Tell them it's been good to be in church with them.